guys ready? Jeff, are you ready?
Just trying to keep that for you.
Well, we need that later, because it doesn't matter at this moment. Thank you, sir.
102.6602A.
Okay. Chief? We're gonna call the Wednesday, March 10th, 2021, regular city council meeting to order. It's 5:30. In attendance is Mike Shields, Colleen Scott, Don Greiner. We have a quorum. We please stand for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. So, do we have any public comments? No. Okay, perfect. We're gonna move past our public comments. Are there any added agenda items that aren't listed?
Not at this time, Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to add two things to the agenda. Both of them, I don't think will take more than 5 minutes. One is our budget that's due fairly soon. And the second is the holiday flags for Memorial Day and what our position's going to be on that, what we're going to be responsible for installing.
Okay, we've added two items, one on our budget, one on our flags. Don will explain those later when we get to other matters. All right, so let's move right into it. We have a consent agenda, which, excuse me, that was barbecue ribs. And we have a consent agenda that includes the meeting minutes for February 24th, 2021. Is there any discussion on these minutes or corrections?
No.
Okay, so do I have a?
I move we adopt the consent agenda.
I second the motion.
All right, so we have a first and a second to accept the consent agenda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, so our consent agenda is good to go. Moving right along, I guess we're gonna deal with our other items at this time. All right, well, we may as well let it wing, Don. What's our budget and flags thing?
Well, on the budget, I know that last year at this time, we normally have had a budget committee at least one meeting. I mentioned this to Jeff the other day, and he indicated that at Garibaldi, he was the budget committee and he was all in. And it's my opinion that we're a little beyond that here, and that we should at least have some input from the citizens. And I think that's been your goal all the time as mayor, to see that there's citizen output. So it's my opinion we should do something about the budget committee, either appoint one or have something that they can look at. That's the one thing I have on the budget. The thing on the flag is Memorial Day is coming. It's going to be Monday, May 31st, and as of this time, I don't think we have a flag policy, and I think we should set a policy for that date if for nothing else. Thank you.
Do you feel it's wise that we don't set a policy for that date, but we encompass all dates that we might need the flags hung?
All I need to know is, are we going to see that there are flags up that day? And if we are, who's the responsible? And I see to me that we are setting it up, and I see the responsible person. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Don.
Mr. Mayor, I have a comment.
Yes.
When I had brought forward our holiday schedule, I included the not only the 4th of July, but then Jake had brought up including the flags for the memorial and possibly even during Veterans Day. And so I had typed up a sheet outlining that, and which Mr. Grainer has here. And so my thinking is, if Jake could give us some, I think you had planned on doing that a week before the memorial holiday, is that right?
Yeah, sometime that week we plan on doing it. We're open to whatever date, but I think it makes sense to get it up because we get a lot of travelers coming in that week for Memorial Day, so I think sometime that week prior is a good
goal. Does this encompass Labor Day also?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
I can get you a report for the next session, kind of some just some timelines and kind of what our policy would be.
Right, that would be great.
You bet.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor. I don't know if there was something lost in translation in the discussion with Councilman Greiner. I apologize if I gave the indication that I said I was the Budget Committee in my prior appointment. That's not what I was. Under Oregon State budget law, that's not allowed. We have to have a Budget Committee, and we have to have public hearings for the budget. What I was indicating is that traditionally here in La Pine, there have been a number of people that work on the budget in concert with our contract CPAs. What I was indicating is that I built the budget as budget officer in Garibaldi, but it was still subject to review by Budget Committee and City Council.
Right, I believe that Melissa basically did the same thing. You know, it still was reviewed by a Budget Committee and public hearings also.
Right. I apologize, Jeff, if I said it wrong. I know you and I talked about it, and we indicated that there was lots of time to get it done, and that I thought, from what you said to me, that basically you were the one that made up the budget, which is normal, and that was going to be it. We weren't going to kind of have a member of the Budget Committee, and if I misunderstood you, I apologize.
Well, that's okay. I just wanted to make sure that nobody thought that I was going to write and pass the budget in a vacuum with no sort of public input.
That's all right. Councilor Greiner is new to the council this term, and we're going to have to make some allowances for such. All right, so I guess that covers our added agenda items, the budget and the flags. Thank you so very much. One of our other items that now we're going to go into is the introduction of John Morgan, our contract planner. Do we have a report on that, or is John Morgan here?
He is here.
John is here. We're having some technical difficulties that I'm trying to fix at the moment.
Should we move into a different agenda item and come back to John?
One second.
He's on the screen.
What's going on? Do you want me to help?
Did you put him up there?
Yeah.
We see you, John.
Is he muted on his side? Jeff?
Okay. Can you hear me, John?
I can.
Okay. The problem is that he's only coming out of the speaker of my computer.
Okay.
So that's probably not going to serve us very well.
Or you can hold the speaker to your computer near your microphone.
That's true.
Okay,
John, we're introducing you now.
Can you give us a test 1, 2, 3 and see if we can hear you?
Yes. 1, 2, 3. Does that work?
You guys hear that?
Mm-hmm. That's better. Thank you.
Okay, so it is my distinct pleasure to introduce John Morgan of CPS Planning to you all, members of council. He is the individual that I've been telling you about now for the past month. We've contracted with him, and John thought it was important that he get an opportunity to introduce himself to you at tonight's meeting. So that being said, based on the conversations we've had, John, and sort of the vision that we've outlined at the 30,000 foot level, I'm going to give the floor to you and let you tell the council about yourself and some of what we've discussed with regards to the work you're going to help us with here at the city.
Well, it's great. I am glad to be able to do that. First, I want to congratulate the council on hiring Jeff. I've known him for was gutted in the 1850s in the Willamette Valley. It's been great to be able to serve Oregon's communities for so long. I am pleased to be able to bring my skills and my passion and my interest to Lapine. It's ironic that at the very same time Lapine is entering our portfolio, so is Manzanita. Couldn't find any two more disparate communities with which to work. But today we had a big meeting about dunes in Manzanita. I doubt we'll ever do that in Lapine. I followed Lapine for a long time as a public policy wonk. I should probably admit that I spent a great deal of time working with the city of Damascus, which used to be the second youngest city in the state. And it's great to see Lapine being successful, even though it's a little bit younger than Damascus by 2 years. You have had tremendous success for that community fell apart. There's a lot of reasons for that, for both of those stories. I have been asked by Jeff to take a look at basically the planning function of the city to review how planning is provided, how that serves, how it ties into other services of the community, how it serves the community well in a manner that is defined by the city itself. We have taken an initial look at your development code, and as I told you, kind of the way we looked at it is, wow, someone wanted to turn you into MIMP from way back when, because there's a lot of the code that might be very appropriate for the values and the size of Bend, but it may not reflect really the values of Lapine, where you want to go and what you want to accomplish. So we will spend quite a bit of time reviewing that document. It likely will also involve taking a look at the comprehensive plan, but it gives you an opportunity as a community and as the leaders of that community to take that hard look at where Lapine is going now, where you want it to be in 20, 30, or 40 years, and making sure that the framework, the legal framework, is there to accomplish that which you want in the way that you want. I think we'll have some really good times over the next 6 to 12 months in evaluating those documents and working with the Planning Commission to see where we where you want to go, and we're very excited about that opportunity to help you get there. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have or ideas that you want to share.
Are there any questions from the council at this time for John?
I think I just our main goal in Lapine's future is we realize that you can't stop evolution of Lapine. You can't lock people outside of city limits. At some point or another, you can manage growth and you can manage, you know, our city. But our main goal is to maintain our identity and originality that, you know, we have from the other cities in our county.
That's the kind of thing that will drive this notion of where you want to go, and you want to make sure you've got those public policies as well as those development code elements and processes that reflect exactly that.
Are there any other comments from any of the
council? Not for me, sir.
Just one comment. I'm just really excited to have you come on board. We appreciate the fact that you're looking at our code and making it more reflective of Lapine, and we're just looking forward to having a good relationship with you and hopefully providing some assistance to Alexa, which we appreciate. So thank you.
Comment I have is I have some concerns about some of our planning that was done before the city was formed. and hoping that we're able to change some of that in the future. As far as for zoning?
I would just suggest everything's on the table as much as you want. If we can look at all of it, we still have to work within a legal framework as provided by the state, but that just, that's a framework. We can make things happen reflective of what you want. And so it is an opportunity to take what's been learned over the last, 14 years since incorporation, 15 years, and make amendments, make changes, set new directions. It's an opportunity to do that.
Thank you.
Right. I think that if we simply, within your review, can review some of the boilerplated code that came from other cities, that don't really reflect our values and goals here, and can transmute those into something that benefits us, I think you will have achieved a great thing.
I look forward to that. I really do.
Okay.
Thank you so much, John.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you all. Do well tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, we're going to move into our next situation, which we did receive applications for council persons. We have received four council person applications, one from Kathy Van Dam, one from Courtney Ignacio, one from Janine Earls, and our newest one is from Janice Curtis Thompson. There are letters, I believe, of intention along with applications from each applicant. I hope that you'll review them and then we can discuss them further in executive session after our council meeting. Is it appropriate for the councilors to ask questions of the applicants that are in-house?
That's completely at the council's discretion, and I just want to make a note for those that might not be familiar. When the mayor's mentioning executive session, what happens is at the, basically we pause the regular meeting and we go into what is a council-only session, and they can discuss those matters, and then we come back into a regular session. I don't know if the council's going to make any decisions tonight. Again, that's at the discretion of the council, but what we had talked about is that you might wait till the next meeting to levy any final decisions on the applicants. Is that correct, Mr. Mayor?
As far as I'm under the understanding that we were going to discuss them in executive session after our regular meeting, and that way it'll give the council a week or so to turn on their own decision, and then we'll make a decision in our next meeting.
But if any members do want to ask questions at this time, it would be appropriate.
I would think, well, the applicants are in-house, now would be the right time to ask questions of any of them that are here. Mike? We have Kathy Van Dam and we have Courtney Ignacio. If there are any questions asked of either of you, would you please step up to the microphone and let us know who you are, and then we can hear you. Okay, Mike?
No.
Okay, Colleen?
My question to both individuals here would be just to make sure that you understand that along with serving on the city council, we each take on the role of serving on a committee, and all the committees happen at different times of the day. And so I just like to make sure people understand that hopefully they would have the time to do that. Some of the committees meet in the evening, some in the afternoon, and so that's really my main question.
Generally, as just a general comment, since I do make the appointments, I try to appoint council members to meeting times that fit their own schedules and their lifestyle. So I don't really think you have to worry about that. We're not going to stick you on something that's going to ruin your day.
So you don't want an answer?
Do you want the candidates to answer, or you just tell them?
I think that was more of a comment than a question.
That's what I thought. That's why I'm asking.
She's asking.
Oh, please.
If you want me to, I'll be happy to step up. I just meant that I wasn't sure if it was a statement or whatever.
And who are you?
I'm Kathy Van Dam. And do I sit down or stand? Can you hear me?
Talk right? to you.
Just talking to the microphone.
You're comfortable with.
You guys are around here.
Just make sure the mic is on. There should be a little red light.
It is.
Okay. Just put it towards your mouth.
Yeah.
The, yes, as a matter of fact, I'm fortunately at this time in my life retired from a 9-to-5 or 8-to-whatever job. And so I have all the time I need to take. So I'm available for anything that I could serve on and would be happy to do.
Thank you so much.
I'm Courtney Ignazito, and I do have a full-time position with Lapine Community Health Center. I am the executive assistant and also the public relations specialist, so I do all of our marketing. But within my schedule at the health center, I will have some flexibility to serve, and I look forward to being able to make new relationships and make new insight in the community and serve in any way that is needed of me. So, thank you.
Thank you so much. Don, do you have any questions or comments for our...
The only comment I have is I wonder what's going to happen with our some of our committees that Kathy's on. I mean, we're real short, aren't we, on some people? We're going to have to recruit some committee members to replace her, too, and it's very important.
I think just on planning commission, right?
That was my right. Sorry, I didn't hear you.
I think just planning commission, right?
Well, planning and public works, but we haven't been having anything with public works for quite some time, so there's not a crisis there.
Yeah, and I have had some people come forward interested in joining the planning commission, so we would be sad to see you go, of course. But.
Thank you. That's important.
Yeah.
That's the only question I have right now.
All right. Thank you so much. I guess then we'll conclude the number three are applicants for Countdown Council, and we'll move into number four, our Habitat for Humanity SDC request. This was a discussion and possible action item. Do we have any more of a report on this than we have already? Nothing's changed. Did you have anything you would like to say?
No, I'm happy to answer any questions anybody has, but I think we presented everything 2 weeks ago.
Perfect. Mike?
Well, I am still concerned. You know, Don brought up a good point about the traffic. I want to state first that I'm all in favor of your organization because I've known a lot of people involved in it and it's a great thing and all that, but I just want to make sure that we're not giving up anything where it's going to hurt the city financially, because we are going to be increasing traffic flow. I realize that you're in an area that they own the roads. We'll take care of those, but that doesn't go beyond what you own, and that increases the traffic flow on all those roads. And so I think we need to take a careful look at that, you know, to see what kind of, I think our traffic, our TDCs are based on an estimated increase of traffic. And so we're gonna have traffic. We're gonna have wear and tear on the streets. You know, whether we need more stoplights, stop signs, everything just keeps going and going and going and going, where we need more and more as we bring in more people. So that's the one thing I'm concerned about.
Okay, thank you so much. Colleen?
I always appreciate Don's input, and so I also want to take that into consideration as we make a decision on this. My question to you, Mr. Mayor, are we simply discussing this tonight or are we making a decision?
I believe it's within our means to make a decision tonight if we would like to.
Okay. other thing that I wanted to make sure on as well is that this request is just for these 11 townhomes. Is that correct? It's not for like every project you do. So that would be my concern also, is the decision that we make, if we do make a decision tonight, I'm addressing it to these 11 townhomes. Is that where you're coming from?
Would you like me to come up there and answer that?
Please.
Please introduce yourself too, just okay. For the record.
My name is Wade Watson, and I'm a member of the Board of Directors of Habitat for Humanity. That was not my intent. I wouldn't reject what you're suggesting. The dilemma that we face of increasing costs, outdistancing whatever increases occur in incomes, isn't going to change. And so the advantage or the benefit that you can provide to your community in terms of providing affordable housing for low-income people goes well beyond the 19 townhome development that we have. And so consequently, I guess I would view it as an investment in your community in perpetuity. But obviously, you can make whatever decision you choose. Did I answer your question?
You did. Thank you.
Okay, Don?
I believe that we were given a sheet in our folder that says that if we give the water donation, it's $42,581. We give the sewer donation, it's an additional $73,293. If we give the street donation, it would be an additional $48,499. And I go back to say that I think that Habitat for Humanity is a great organization. We need it here in our community, and we appreciate all you do. However, we do not have a street fund, and that's what bothers me very much. And also, we have to be fair. If you come to us and we agree to all of this, that means every other person that comes to us building community projects that are of advance or that are something that our community needs, we have to give them exactly the same thing, consideration as we give you. So in my opinion, I still feel that because the water and sewer are the biggest portions of it, and we have more money in the water and sewer fund, and we collect water and sewer fees every single month, that I would not object to giving those two funds. However, when it comes to the street fund, and we have no source, funding source for our streets except to rob Peter to pay Paul, I am opposed to allowing the street fund. And that's my opinion, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you so much. I guess my opinion on this is I fall kind of in the same boat as the rest. I feel that the benefit that Habitat for Humanity has for our community is beyond explanation. There's really, they just do the very best for all of our citizens. And I'm fully supportive of waiving the water and sewer SDCs at this time or another, because we do not have a street department. I feel that maybe waiving the street fund at this time is not in the city's best interest. Although you did discuss that Habitat for Humanity is going to continue building in perpetuity within the city, and at some point possibly in the future we may be able to make considerations for the SDCs for the street department, or for streets also, transportation. But at this time, in my mind, I think that it's probably prudent to do what we can do best and hold on to what we need to hold on to, because we don't really have a street department yet.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make one more comment if I could.
Thank you so much.
I'm wondering if there's some revenue stream or apparatus we could get to help each individual with their down payment over and above the amount of work that they put in their work itself. I'm wondering if we couldn't work out some sort of a funding stream that might help maybe 10% of the down payment that they need or something like that, and get it from other sources than this, and hopefully we can come up with something that would help them and assist them. I want you to know, I certainly am happy with the way you build the homes and the way they look and everything else. I'm just worried about the street fund. That's my main opposition. Thank you.
Could I respond to Don's most recent comment there?
Please.
Just for clarity, they really don't come up with a down payment. The down payment is the amount of money that we are able to save by getting donated materials, labor, and having volunteers work on the house. So, however, you know, any ideas relative to grants you know, mechanism that you can provide that can help us to fund future projects, we'd be most grateful for those ideas. We do have a grant writer that we have on contract, and we've been pretty successful in terms of getting grants from foundations, but you know, if there were something that could be applied for by a government agency as opposed to us that would benefit us, we'd be happy to help to, you know, do the legwork in terms of trying to get that accomplished. So I'm grateful that you're thinking in those terms, because we can use all the help we can get.
Well, and, sir, and there might be grants, things that could be applied for that maybe Habitat for Humanity people might be able to produce matching funds with labor or something, you know, in applying for the grants. So, I mean, never rule that out.
Well, we're being very successful with private foundations in terms of getting the money. But there are things on a government basis that you can apply for that we can't. So, you know, maybe Jeff has some ideas in that regard that he can pass on to us. And we'd be most grateful for any ideas that you can come up with. And let me just say, because I've heard all four of you now, you know, we appreciate whatever help we can get. And so I understand your comments relative to the transportation system. We'd be most grateful for relief of water and sewer only. So don't feel like we're going to be ungrateful.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thanks a lot.
So are you looking for a decision then, or do you want further discussion?
I think that at some point or another, we're pretty much all on the same page. If we had a motion, we probably could entertain it and make it an action item that we could take care of tonight.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to interject a couple details that I think are important for the council to consider. Per Councilmember Greiner's consideration and concern about the word that we hear all too often and we're afraid to speak about, precedent, the legislative tool that was presented last time Wade was here, that the instrument that was used by the city of Tillamook, was that an ordinance or a resolution, Wade? I don't recall.
It's an ordinance.
That's what I figured. So it actually is codified in the law. Therefore, the city of Tillamook protected themselves against setting precedent. So we can use the model they have. It's probably going to need to be augmented a little bit by our city attorney, but it does protect us from somebody else coming along and saying, hey, they got it, we want it too. So that's really important to consider. I am very happy that Councilmember Greiner did make mention of the fact that part of the reason that I think what he's thinking about water and wastewater versus street is those are both enterprise generating revenue streams. So even if we're taking that front end off, we are going to get the revenue through the monthly billing. But there is a certain element of the Newberry neighborhood that is really important to consider, and I'm going to ask Public Works Director Obrist to make comment on that briefly.
So currently, the Newberry neighborhood has an overlay for a sewer loan that was taken out to construct and facilitate the Newberry lift station to be constructed. That loan is still outstanding, so the relationship we have with the county is, any sewer funds that can come in that neighborhood go back to suffice that loan. And that loan has not been met yet, so we would need to coordinate with Deschutes County because they take those sewer SDCs in that neighborhood. They've collected Housing Works, they've collected Polish, they've collected Reserve in the Pines. So we might have an issue trying to waive the sewer SDCs. Just wanted to put that caveat out there.
So we need to check with them basically on that a little bit.
Right, so then I think it's far more prudent to take and make sure all our gunpowder is dry before we do something like this. So then we'll just keep this as a discussion item. I think that everyone pretty much has a grasp on the situation, and we're just gonna have to get back with you, Wade, and stuff here in the near future.
Okay.
If I understood you right, even if we waive the water and sewer SDCs, we're going to have to convince the county that they will go along with it, is that correct?
Yeah, the agreement is any sewer SDC taken in that neighborhood goes to the county.
I mean, the water we could waive, but the sewer is a different
thing. I get you.
So I really think, you know, the ultimate question here is, not to put Deschutes County on the spot, are you going to hold the city accountable for those revenues you would have received, or are you going to play along with us potentially? If I understand correctly, Jake.
So then you will get an answer that to that question, and then you'll provide us with an ordinance that meets the consensus of what
I can get a draft ordinance regardless of, you know, what the decision may ultimately be by the council. The only important element of that is we do want to be very specific in that ordinance about what we are waiving and what we're not. I know that the Wade is anxious because it's been going on a month now that we've been talking about this. But it sounds like, depending upon what the county says, that I don't want to put words in your mouths, but that you vetted this, and I think I know where you guys stand, so.
Okay, thank you so much. And Jake, rather than placing the whole burden on the county, which was ultimately what we would do if they waived the sewer charges, we just didn't have to pay them. Maybe we split them with them or something, you know, so that each party waives, you know, a share of it. So you might ask them that when you talk to them.
Okay.
All right, sorry, Wade, we're just gonna have to make sure things work out for everybody. So we'll get back to you here in the near future. Okay. Plus we enjoy seeing you here, you know, what's one more meeting?
Well, and just as a follow-on comment, we made a presentation to the county commissioners last Wednesday at their meeting. And I think if the decision went to the commissioner level, they would be very supportive of our request. Our point in having the meeting or the presentation to them was not to talk about SDCs, it was just to talk about our ongoing needs for assistance. And they were incredibly receptive. So if you guys need any assistance in terms of contacting people, I'd be more than happy to help.
So when you brought that up, wait, that was directly at a board of commissioners meeting. You didn't go through the county administrator or the planning department or anything?
No.
Okay. And I'll contact.
The county administrator was at the presentation.
Sure.
And asked questions.
Well, I can put, we were fortunate that Commissioner DeBone is a resident and regular in this neck of the woods, so I'll just have I owe him a phone call anyway, so I'll put that out to him, and I'll include Tom Anderson in that conversation so we can speed this along for the council.
Yeah, they're very aware of what we're doing and what we plan to do over the next 3 or 4 years as a result of the presentation last Wednesday, so should be a fairly easy conversation, I would think.
Should be fresh in their minds.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for what you do.
You're very welcome.
All right, good. We're gonna move into our next agenda item, which is the Anderson Perry LePine High School Senior Scholarship thing. And this is a scholarship for $1,000. I guess that this is more just a discussion. Have we had any applicants at all? Have we put this out for application yet?
No.
No, we haven't. They asked from Anderson Perry, and I want to go on record as saying it's very generous of them to put this out for our community. It's essentially, for those in the audience, it's a STEM scholarship for a high school senior for science, technology, engineering, and math. And the ask from Anderson Perry, and just again for the record, Anderson Perry is an engineering firm that we've contracted with for different projects here in the city currently. They are the contract engineer developing all the design standards for a water and wastewater project that is going to be hopefully going in, starting the summer. You know, we're talking about a project that's probably going to be in excess of $30 million. So Anderson Perry wants to give back to the community in a small way, and what they're asking of us tonight is essentially, does the council want to endeavor to be the group making decisions as to who this scholarship is awarded to, or do we want to keep that responsibility with Anderson Perry?
And how has it been in the past?
I can't say because I wasn't here, and they did not indicate to me that they ever provided this scholarship before in Lapine. They did indicate that they choose a community each year that they do work in, so, and I know that they're a Northwest regional firm, so that's dozens and dozens of communities. They just happened to choose us this year. So does anybody have any recollection of that?
Actually, I do believe that they have done it here before, and that Max Miller was one of the recipients.
I think Trent.
Oh, Trent, yes. Yeah. Trent
Waters. Well, Trent Waters, yeah. Received the last one, yeah.
And, but I didn't know if they had turned it over to the high school to make the decision, or if it was made internally, because I never saw applications for that.
Well, this is what they've said in their communication. Number one, Anderson Perry has developed a scholarship application process that allows students to apply online and includes coordination with the school representative. Under this option, Anderson Perry would collect and review the applications and help select a candidate. After that, we would anticipate the City of Lapine awarding the scholarship at a time and location of their choice. Or number two, the City of Lapine handles the scholarship process internally as they see fit, including coordination with the school.
Actually, I think that was the way it was done last time. It's at Anderson Perry.
That was exactly what was done last time, Mr. Mayor.
Honestly, I think that Anderson Perry took the applications, and then they took and awarded it to us, and we took and gave it to Trent. So, do we have any discussion on that, Mike?
No, other than I think we should just do what we did before.
Right. Colleen?
I agree.
Don?
I think that's the way it should be done, and I know that they got the money for it because we signed bills today well in advance of, or close to $100,000, if I remember right.
Right. I think that it's very adequate to just let people apply online, let them hand the money out. You know, we fully appreciate it in our community, but I feel that, you know, they should have some say-so too.
I think the main thing is, don't they want to make the presentation here at a city council meeting, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
So I support that.
Okay, so then we'll do that.
I'll indicate your selection to them by consensus.
Thank you so much. Okay, so our next item is the Lapine Transit Center. Jake, do you have like a little report thing?
I think we can both speak to it. As I indicated in my communication to you regarding the length of the document, a lot of it is just pro forma. We don't need to go over those sections. I mean, they're boilerplate. Jake and I both took some issue with the RFP as written, as did Councillor Scott. There are a number of items that are written incorrectly into the preamble of the RFP. Most notably, that the proposal or the project period ends in August, which is wildly off the mark. The project must be completed by June 30th per the fiscal year for ODOT, because the money is coming from ODOT, and they have to have that money out the door by June 30th. So we've indicated to our engineer of record he needs to address that. There were some other errors with regards to staff and who to contact here. Past staff were listed that are no longer with the city, so we've made him aware of that. And then with regards to actual dimensions, there were some inaccuracies with regards to the size of infrastructure that needs to be put in, most notably pipe sizes, and if Jake wants to expand on that, he can. I don't know if it's necessarily a requirement.
Yes, most of it was the bid sheet, how they bid different items. There was a couple elements on there that were not accurate, so I pointed those out. Most of it's boilerplate RFP document, you can see it in there. But there was a few items we had to point out, and we got those revisions back to Eric to include into the RFP. I'd like to hear if you guys see anything in there that we might want to add to it or correct.
I was very happy to see that in our sod we're going to have bluegrass, ryegrass, and fescue.
That is a benefit, yes?
Yes.
I will make the council aware that even if we were to get the revision back tomorrow from Eric, we have a very short window in which to get this completed. And ODOT is very interested in us getting this RFP out like yesterday. So, and as you know, we've been asking for some time.
Yes.
Is there anything that the council can do? Would it require a special meeting if he gets the documents back to you for us to approve? Or I know this is sending it out to bid, so we don't need to do anything at this point. He just needs to get the documents to you, correct?
Yeah, we can get it out to bid as soon as we feel like the document's ready to do so. Okay. Now, the accepting process, if once we choose a proposal, then we might have to expedite it through council, possibly.
Okay.
We may need to hold a special meeting for that. One really important element, he listed the decision date. You know, when we get bids, we have to get them sealed and then we open them in a public process, which everybody who submitted a bid is welcome to come to and watch us do it. He listed March 25th. I asked him to put that 1 week further out, given we need him to make adjustments. I think that's too small a window to solicit enough people. I mean, it can only be one person, you know, at the end of the day, but I don't know if people are going to find out soon enough by that date. I mean, even if we were to get this out, say, beginning of next week, that's a very small window, so.
So you're proposing April 2nd is when you want to?
Correct.
Bid opening.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, is there anything else with this? Was there any discussion? Do you have any questions or comments, Don?
There's one thing. I know we were told we didn't have to go through all those documents, but believe it or not, I thumbed through every page. I didn't read everything, but a couple of things caught my eye. Section 12-93-00, site found furnishings. And I find on that there are 14 items that the city provides. And what I'm wondering is, what will the cost of those items be, and who's going to be responsible for setting those items? Will it be the city, or will it be the contractor? And if it's the contractor, is it included in the contract price? And
what page is that on, Councilman Graner?
I can't tell you the page, but it's section 12-93-00, site furnishings.
It's alluding to picnic tables and benches. So we wanted to, instead of the contractor picking different benches that didn't meet our criteria, we're going to use project funds and go out and purchase the benches and tables that we want, not spell them out in the RFP and complicate it. So we're going to spend ODOT dollars, buy those benches and pick the tables and get them installed with the project.
Yeah, so in other words, we're going to supply them and we're going to obtain the money to fund
yes.
them and put them in, is that correct?
Yep, through the project dollars, correct.
Okay. The only other item that I had was the irrigation system and the maintenance for a year. Who's going to see that it's put in the way it's supposed to be, and who's going to make sure that the plant warranty and everything is taken care of? One of the things that I am concerned about that is because in Crescent Creek, as the years have gone by, the Homeowners Association has allowed the irrigation system to deteriorate. Therefore, some of our plants have died. They just cut them off and never replaced them. And I would like to make sure that when we put this in, that we have somebody that makes sure that the irrigation system works, and to make sure that the plants are alive a year from now. and be sure that we have it maintained. And I assume that we're going to request the same contractor that's doing our gardening now to at least maintain it so we make sure that it's done properly.
Correct. So last time, if you can remember the streetscape project with Highway 97, that was a separate landscaper that came in as a hired subcontractor that we've never done work with before. We wanted to ensure that we had a quality product and everything was done per plan. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not an irrigation expert. So we had our contractor come in and make sure everything was done right. And then there's a performance bond on those elements as well for warranty work. So they have, I think, 2 years on those. We'll make sure that it gets done right and we will pay for the maintenance of it for the entirety of its life. But we'll make sure it gets done and installed right, and I'll bring in the proper people to make sure it does.
Thank you, because I think it's a very important part of the program.
Hey, thank you so much. Are there any other comments? All right, so I guess we're good to go.
I wanted to add one more thing. I just thought of it. Mike, you addressed the drywall depth. It previously it was 12 foot, and we actually reduced it almost in half to 8 foot. Okay. Just wanted to let you know that.
That still gets you down in that gravel there.
Okay.
So when they excavate down to that, they need to set aside that good brown soil that comes out of there,
mm-hmm.
take out the gravel. I need you to get to that depth and then pack that other soil back in the bottom of that hole.
Okay.
And then we'll protect our groundwater.
Perfect.
Duly noted.
Thank you.
All right, so our next item on the agenda is our city manager's report.
So I just wanted to update you guys on our recruitment. From the last time we discussed this, we have put the advertisements out for the office account clerk. That's the position that Ms. Kraft used to inhabit. She has been basically elevated to the position of city recorder. So we're looking for that front office person whose basic primary responsibilities are going to be reception and the accepting of accounts receivable for utility accounts and supporting the Public Works Department through that function. We've posted that on our website, through our Facebook page, and through the League of Oregon Cities. To date, we've received 3 applications. Is that correct, Jamie?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. And then our staff account position, we've also posted in the same locales. Unfortunately, today we have not received any applications. And that may be because it's sort of a middle ground position. There are lots of people out there with entry level experience, and then there's lots of people that want to be finance directors. Staff accountants sort of cutting the mustard in the middle. So we'll leave it listed as that for the time being, but if we need to change it, I'll inform you of that before we do that, if we need to change the title of the position for any reason, but we haven't had any applicants to date. With regards to our public works position, we list that as a utility worker 1/utility worker 2. We make space for that because some applicants may come with either water or wastewater certifications, and that is definitely deserved of a utility worker 2 designation because those certifications are very hard to come by, as are the people that hold them. But we do realize that that may not come to fruition, and so we make it somebody that has construction or heavy equipment experience that would make a good utility worker 1, who would be put on a track for certification. So depending on what we receive, we'll make that choice at the time of what's been received by us in terms of application level. To date, you've received 3 applications, is that correct, Jake?
Yeah, 3 to date, yeah.
And I did want to note that both Brandon Bren and Dylan Gardner are current Utility 1 workers, as I noted in my report, are going to be registering for their first certification test here shortly. So they're well on their way, which is right on time. I mean, they've been here about a year, so it's commendable that within a space of 1 year that they're already ready for their first certification exam. And Jake's been working with them, getting them trained up. And we did have, as you mentioned, in the last meeting, the Oregon Association of Water Utilities provide them with a training session as well. Moving on from that, as far as our economic development activities, we did get approval from our city attorney on the RFP that I drafted that I shared with you for the spec building program. He's making a few adjustments to it. with the help of Ms. Lucas, actually the majority of the work done by Ms. Lucas, we've created an advertisement that we're going to put in the Oregon Daily Business Journal of Commerce that will go out and hopefully put that project application far and wide. We want to cast as big a net as possible. We don't know what we're going to get yet because we haven't sent it out. We're just waiting for Jeremy's final notes on the RFP.
I have one quick question.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Does this opportunity only encompass one opportunity? What if we had three or four people that said they wanted to take and build spec buildings? Does this allow for that provision?
No, it doesn't. It's the land that would be donated is land being given by the county. And as of this time, they've only indicated one lot for one spec building. And the concept is, I'm sure you can all arrive at this conclusion on your own, that building will be the kickoff that will potentially display what is possible in our industrial park and therefore hopefully attract others that do want to spend their own money on the land. So it's sort of a catalyst. I can't speak to whether or not the county would consider other parcels of land. That does raise a good question that maybe I'll put forth to them. At the end of the day, any other pieces of land that would be, shall we say, donated for a process like this essentially results in a 50% loss of revenue for us and 50% loss for the county in terms of the sale price since we share the proceeds. And in closing, I just wanted to let you all know Ms. Pat Stone had visited us back, I believe it was the end of January. She was the resident who lives outside of official city limits but lives in the Lapine area that had a number of ongoing concerns regarding public transportation. When we discussed the matters with her, it was discovered that really there's only one matter that we could really weigh in on because there was only one issue that was within city limits. The other issues were unincorporated Lapine, and that was the stops on Route 31 during the summertime from Lapine to Sun River. And her ask of us was to submit a letter in support of adding or augmenting the stop on the north, not the north end, but let's say the central downtown area, which currently stops at St. Charles, to either add a stop at the Lapine Senior Center or to augment that stop from St. Charles to the Lapine Senior Center. I did write a letter on behalf of the council, and the intent in the letter was that I was reflecting your wishes, not me taking the political position that this is where I stood. And that was submitted to CET, and in a subsequent meeting with CET, it was discovered that they are now, I don't want to understate it, but they are very seriously considering changing that stop to the Lapine Senior Center. And the way the direction the wind is blowing, that's probably what's going to happen by this summer. They see it as a public safety issue, and they were very strongly behind it, and they were very aware of the low ridership from the St. Charles stop.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay,
then that encompasses our city manager's report. I think there are no public comments still. Staff comments, Jeff?
I have none at this time.
Jake?
Yes, I do, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to update everybody that a hot topic lately has been the roads up in the Cagle neighborhood, and duly so. They're in pretty poor shape right now. Spent quite a bit of time up there assessing those streets, talked to Mr. Shields quite a bit. He has pretty good knowledge on road grading in the region, and posted a video to the public this last week to update everybody on what our process is going to be. We have budgeted extra money to do so, but until we can get in there, I think we're wasting our dollars if we send a road grader up there now. But you know, if the 50 degree weather continues, it could be expedited pretty quick. And as we all know, spring can come fairly quick. It goes from winter to summer. And we all look forward to improving those roads. So I appreciate everybody's patience on that. We are in the process of finalizing some land acquisitions and some siting of lift stations. I know, you know, staff heard me yell this week, yes, upstairs, very emphatically when I got a signed, notarized document coming back for a lift station I've been working on for probably over a year now, trying to site a lift station. So those of pretty much been finalized. We're just going through the paperwork to get those recorded, which is very, very good. And met with our landscapers. We talked about landscaping a little bit earlier. I don't know if you can recall, last year we looked at possibly doing a project in the front here along our picnic area. Remember, we've had that proposal and it was a little higher than we really wanted, and we kind of put it to the table or pushed it to the side for a while. They have come back to me and they would like to donate their time to put that in because of how much work we've given them, and they really appreciate working with the city. So they would like to donate their time to do that work if we paid for the materials. So I am going to approach that and see what that entails before I say yes. I want to see how much the materials are going to be, but I think it's a nice gesture and it's something that we probably are going to follow through with.
So they're basically going to landscape it to our specifications, or we're just saying here's an area, make it so?
It's going to be the same specs that we spelled out originally. Yep. Same elements that we see around town. I'm not going to put sod over there. It's going to be bunch grasses, some of our catmint, the purple flowers, some boulders, stuff like that.
Right, and it'll keep people from parking there. So.
Exactly. They're going to they'll install the irrigation. All the labor would be free. It's just we have to pay for the materials. I kind of want to nail down what those costs are going to be before I provide another report back to you.
Thank you so much. Jamie?
Nothing.
Alexa?
I don't have anything at this time. Sorry.
Okay, so then that ends our staff comments. We'll move right into council comments. Don Greiner?
I think I've probably said enough for tonight.
Okay, Mike Shields?
Just to refer back to what Jake talked about on the Cagle subdivision, I do drive those roads about every 3 days just to keep an eye on things. Yeah. We are watching.
I've had some pretty interesting suggestions on how to fix those roads. The best I've heard so far is getting a propane truck with a heater to heat the roads up and grade it right after the heater heats the roads up.
I would agree.
And so, do you think that's possible? No, with money, anything's possible.
Yeah.
And they contacted Mike Shields and let him know their theory too, which I thought was pretty cute.
Yeah.
Colleen?
Yes, I wanted to congratulate Jamie for her promotion and say that we are excited that you have accepted this position, and we look forward to working with you now.
Thank you.
And then I just wanted to say to Jake that I appreciate your responsiveness when I did let you know that I had seen on Facebook someone commenting on the roads and what Jake did, and I appreciate Jeff referring it to him and to Mike, is that when I checked your video tonight before I came, I think there were almost 500 people that had viewed the video that Jake put out just explaining what we are planning on doing. We can't always give an immediate answer, but what I appreciate is that we do convey to the public that we're responsive and that, like Mike said, he's out there, Jake's out there. I know that Jeff has driven out there as well. So we wish we could fix the roads, but we also understand that, you know, there are things that we can't do until the weather improves. So I just want to be known, our city, and I think we are as a team, that we do answer questions and we try our best to give the best answer that we can. So thank you all for your responsiveness. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I guess my comments are, I just would like to thank Alexa Repko, our planner, for being on the community's radio station on Tuesday. I took and asked her some pretty challenging questions about why things take so long in our planning department, and you know how we take and deal with customers wanting more work from us than actually the fees that we allot to them or they pay to us a lot of time for. She was very responsive, and I would just like to say she handled the situation very well, and I think that I've only had receptive comments come back about it, so good work, Alexa.
Well, thank you for having me, Mr. Mayor. It's your reaction.
And thank you so much, and anytime you've got another $20, you can be on there again. And thank you so much, Jamie, for stepping up and taking the position. We really needed someone that's qualified, you know, to take the position, and it looks like you'll do a great job.
Thank you.
Other than that, I think that's it for our regular council meeting. We'll give it just 1 or 2 minutes, and then we'll go into executive session.
Thanks for coming, everyone.
This is such a beautiful room. I've never been into this city.
Welcome.
It's gorgeous.
I know it is, isn't it? It's like a hidden gem.
It is.
Thank you, everybody. Maybe someday you'll be sitting up here in some of these chairs that are wearing out already.
Hi, guys.
Good night.
Good evening. Hi, everybody.
Good evening.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Staff's very excited about Jamie, too, about stuff. She's a keeper. Have a good night, guys.
Bye. Bye.
I'll pay you later, Jake.
Okay, I guess we're just good. It's give me 1 second to regroup here. Okay. It is 6:40, let's say, and we're going to go into executive session pursuant to ORS 192-660-2-A. The public will not be permitted to attend this executive session, provided, however, representatives of the news media and designated staff will be allowed to attend the executive session. Representatives of the media are specifically directed not to report on any of the deliberations during this executive session, except for to state the general purpose of the executive session. As previously announced, no decisions will be made during this executive session. The purpose of this executive session is to directly discuss the applicants for council. In an open discussion here between us, has everybody received their applications and letters of intent?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, at this point, we'll just open this up for discussion. Who wants to start? Jeff? Mike?
Well, I can answer questions, but technically, I
just didn't know if there was anything else we needed to say ahead of time.
Nope, you're
there.
Good.
All right, so I guess I could start. After reading all the applications, I feel there's some very good applicants we have. We have applicants that have lived here in our community and have family ties since, you know, high school, that they've lived here for lots of years. We have, you know, we have business owners. We have federal organization workers, you know, we have a very wide diversity of talents here in this group of applicants. I was very happy to see that we had 4 applicants to choose from, which is kind of different, you know. I mean, usually we get 1 person or 2 people, so this was like a good thing. My 2 cents, which is I always go back to this every single time, is, and it's not just here, it's been in my entire history as being on councils or mayors, is I try to tend to avoid people that are direct retail business owners in town because of their, the conflict of interest. You know, what if something has to happen, you know, through their property, or what if, I mean, just because you hate to put people in this position, you know, you really want to take and have input from everybody. But I see that at some point or another, you know, the people that are here have been here their whole lives. And at some point or another, I feel that I don't see any applicants that aren't qualified, you know. Maybe someone else should review their perception of the applicants. Mike?
Yeah. My
first concern is, are we appointing two or one council member?
Well, we do have two open seats technically.
Two openings?
Yes.
Okay, so my concern is the few of us here that are to represent all of the citizens of La Pine are going to appoint two members that are going to be here for basically 4 years.
Correctly,
with,
yes.
With no vote of the people that we're here to represent.
Yes.
And so I look at this saying, I want to look back on how the two previous votes went, which one was just not very long ago, and then one a little over 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we had two positions open. We had three applicants. Of those three applicants, they were all business owners. Okay, the people chose two of those business owners. Of the three applicants, I should say, two of them were also relatively well-educated people. One of them was just barely educated, that was me, okay? But I was the long-term resident here, been in business here since 1975. For whatever reason, I was chosen. And then another business person was chosen. In our last election here, we had one young person, educated, that was chosen. We had one business person, moderately educated, that was chosen. And so I'm thinking that tells us how the voters would pick. Here we also have, now we have another applicant. I know none of these people. This is the first I've met these two people here. I know none of them have no biases one way or the other. I really feel very strongly, if it went to vote, that they would pick a long-term business owner here, as they did before. And to me, that's important. And the business owner, I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. They've got two businesses there, a fuel station and a motel. What better way to get to know not only the community, the people in the community that they're serving, but also the people that are traveling through, and to know the needs and the desires of those people. And so that's where I'm leaning on that one, okay? And then the other one that they chose this last time was a young, fairly educated person. So that's kind of what, that's where I'm leaning.
Great, that's good. Colleen?
Well, and I like your rationale. And that's why I would speak in favor, because the people that did vote, they did vote for Kathy Van Dam. I don't know Kathy. I know that she's, like we heard tonight, but she's on the Planning Commission. So because she was on the ballot, to me, I would just say hands down, she would be one of the people we appointed. And I like your rationale about, you know, you were talking, the other person that was elected was young.
Yes.
And so if you were asking me just by looking at these names, I would say that I would support Kathy Van Dam and Courtney Ignacito. All four are qualified.
Right.
We are very fortunate that we had such good applications. If any one of these people were appointed, I think it would be good. But those are the two that I'm just going to throw out there.
I just want to make an interjection really quickly. Not that it makes any bearing on the decision you may or may not make this evening, but it's important to note too that we had three other applicants that were really great. Just unfortunately, they didn't understand where the city limits started and ended.
Oh.
So we had three great people from an unincorporated area. So it's just for whatever efforts we've made to generate interest, we got a really nice return. So, yeah.
Is that moving towards annexation?
I'm sure they would like that.
Don?
Well, the first thing is I thought it was strange that you said that you would not choose somebody that had a business here because you have a business in this town.
Exactly.
And Mike has a business in this town. Yep. And I think both of you have contributed immensely to this city. And I think Mike especially has probably saved us thousands of dollars just from his knowledge. So in my opinion, I think a long-time resident, especially somebody who's raised their family here, they've married here, they raised their family here, they earned their business on their own. It wasn't handed to them. They had to get in and dig for it. And if you read the letter that she put in this morning or this evening, I just got it this evening and glanced through it, but it appears that they had some pretty rugged time making it through and still coming out. They're very active in the community. I happen to know from other sources that they do a lot in the community that nobody knows about. They've contributed hotel rooms for people that were in need. They've contributed gasoline. They've contributed propane. They've contributed other things to members of our community that were in need. And they did that without anybody asking, without any fanfare or anything. You can be filling up with gas at their station. They could be giving away propane or something else and you'd never know it. That's the kind of people they are. Also, they've supported the school and they've acted as coaches for some of the things. So in my opinion, I think that they would be an excellent replacement for me. As for Kathy, I like Kathy and I think that she is an excellent person, would make a good counselor. But we've got to consider too, I shouldn't say this because it's not really right, we shouldn't consider it. I was thinking about her position on the Planning Commission because we really need somebody there, and I understand that you have somebody that's looking for it or is interested in it. Then we have Janice Curtis Thompson, and she's not young, but she has a lot of really good experience. I'm not saying that she's the best. I'm saying we need to look at it and see. As far as Courtney, I have nothing at all against her. I've read her resume, and I think that regardless of which ones of these four, I don't think we'll make a mistake. That's my opinion.
Right. I would just like to clarify that, Don, I probably wouldn't vote for myself, you know, because I, at some point or another, I want to see whoever sits here do what's right for the community, and I hate to see anybody put into a conflict of interest situation the same way that we had difficulties, I'm not picking on Scott, but the same way we had difficulties getting the sidewalk through Scott's property, just he was, you know, he was a business owner, very open to supporting our community, the most generous person that there is with the community kitchen, helps citizens, you know, doing their construction projects at low cost, the best guy. But when it came to his own personal situation, Scott was a hard person to work with. That's the only reason why I try to say is I avoid business owners that have a grub stake in La Pine, because I hate to put them into that position to have to take a side or you know, not take a vote and then have hard feelings, you know, because everyone else votes to go through their property or do something, you know. That's the only reason why I said that. Not that you can't be a long-term resident or do something selfishly or, you know, I mean, that has nothing to do with it. I just hate to put people in that position. That was why I said that. You know, I think that, but prior to that, you heard me say that we have some very, very qualified people here, you know, and quite a diversity from young to old of experience and everything else. And that's just the way that I feel about it, you know.
There's also, I mean, and please don't misunderstand, I said that I thought you were doing a fine job as mayor and that you were trying to represent the city, not yourself. So just so you're clear on that.
I understand, Don. I'm on this page with you.
But there's a couple of these people that we're considering that if they were not appointed as a counselor, there's a good possibility that we could get them to serve on one of these committees so that they could get involved in the city, find out how the city works. And of these, all of them that we have here, Kathy Van Dam is the only one that's really involved in the city and tried to take a part. The other two, the other three, live in the city, but they haven't really been involved in the city and in making the decisions that we're going to have to make. And I assure you that from what I've seen in just this first few months of this year, that there's going to be a tremendous amount of decisions that's going to be made the next 3 or 4 years that's going to affect the city, not just this year, not just next year, not just 2 years from now, not 5 years from now, but 20 years from now. So we need to be careful and pick the person that we feel has the best interest of the city at heart and is willing to commit the city to something that will benefit the city down the road.
Right. I fully believe that, just like Mike said, that the will of the people and the statistical data that was brought up, you know, was voted on an experienced person and a young person. You know, that's what happened, you know, before. I feel that young people are the future of our city, and that if we don't take and integrate them into our city, then where do you get the youth to step up? So I feel that there's a benefit in a young person. I feel that there's a benefit in years of wisdom, you know, that only comes from experience, you know? I mean, really. So I see good in all of these candidates.
I do too.
So are we going to narrow it down to how many tonight, or what are we doing?
I think the only thing, I think that the only thing we really need to do at the next meeting, if we come to a decision tonight, is to take and vote on who we would want. You know, at some point or another, discussing it further in front of other candidates, I don't think benefits us unless we feel we have a need to speak to one of them. Two of them actually felt that it was important enough for them to show up at this meeting, and two of them felt that their application and letter was the best that they could do at this time, maybe for whatever reason, you know, but they didn't show up. So I don't know if that has any weight in our decision, you know. So what do you think, Mike?
Well, I kind of explained to you what I felt like I was in favor of.
Yep.
And as far as, you know, anybody getting their feelings hurt because things don't go their way, that's just part of life.
Yep.
You know, and I think if there's a person that's been in business for 20 or 30 years, realizes that, if there's a decision that's going to be made that's going to affect that business financially, they would have to abstain from the vote anyway.
Right.
So it's not going to change what happens here.
I feel that Kathy Van Dam serves a great purpose in the planning commission that, you know, she serves in right now.
That's the other thing that I think about, and I think Don brought that up. She's serving the community where she is now. If we take her from there, then we have to refill that position.
Right, then we place the burden on Russ to replace her. So I guess it's up to us, but I think that if we can narrow it down to two people tonight, then we only need to appoint them at the next meeting. I don't know if we need to have any more discussion other than what we're doing right now. We're already here.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor. I just want to make it clear that the council can talk in generalities about if they like, but actually making a decision as a body,
Can't have, we cannot make a decision here, you know.
I understand.
I'm wondering, has everybody read all the letters that came from each person?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not clear on who you're actually for.
Janine.
So
that's just the one
person. So you're only in favor of one at this
point. Oh, no. And
Courtney,
actually, the younger, the gal that was here.
Courtney?
Courtney.
Was that Courtney?
Yes.
That was Courtney.
She's the one that works at the Planning Community Health Center as the second in charge.
Yeah, and so, you know, I would pick either one of the two of the younger.
Can I ask each one of them who their choice is?
You can, just as long as you don't make an unofficial decision that is later reflected as the official decision. You can all say who you like, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm just curious who.
My choice, I would say Janine and Courtney.
Yeah, that's my choice.
And Don?
Don, are you leaving us?
No, I'm not leaving. I'm going to give everybody something. I believe that probably that is my choice too.
Thank you so much.
Well, we appreciate you, Don.
Thank you, Don.
I just wanted everybody to know where I stand. And I want everybody to know that I really appreciate the confidence that has been put on me in filling this position. And I want you to know I'm not leaving town. If there's anything else that I do to help the city or the council or any individual, I'll be happy to do it.
Don, we just want you to know that we appreciate everything you do, but you're not getting another plaque this time when you leave.
And that's great you said that, because Audrey said something to the people she goes to yoga with, and she was telling them about the nice gift that I got when I retired, and one of them said, well, is he going to have to give it back, and is he going to get another one when he retires this time?
It was just a second hash mark on it. Case?
I just still have to speak up for Kathy, because she would, the reason I'm speaking up so strongly is because she actually got on the ballot. She's here, so I don't know.
I appreciate that, and I put a lot of thought into that. But again, she didn't win the vote. You know, there was three people. She was got the least amount of votes, and she's already serving in positions, two different positions, where she's already benefiting the community. And so, you know, maybe at another date, she'll be there.
I lost two elections, so I guess that doesn't actually push you to the back of the flock.
No, still
can work for the city.
Sure. All right, so everyone had their discussion. Is there any other questions about this?
Not for me, Rose, just to hear.
I have nothing else. Do you have anything?
No.
Okay, so then we'll just, we'll think about it, and then the next meeting we'll take and, we'll take a vote. All right?
Yes. So, will they be installed if they're there and the vote is taken or not? Or will it wait till the next meeting?
That's up to you guys. So what would you like me to do? I can prepare and have the oath of office ready, and it'll be blank in terms of, I won't assign any name to it. And you can have them read the oath that evening, or you can make the decision and wait till the next meeting to have the oath read, and that gives me the opportunity to get the placeholder for them made, that I gave both to Mr. Henderson and Ms. Powell, indicating that, we respect the fact that you're joining our council and you're a member of this body, and I can have your name put on it. It's totally up to you. That's easier for us on our end.
That works for you.
I think it's cleaner all around.
Okay, I think that's probably the most appropriate way in my mind. That way, if Don doesn't mind, holding on for a little bit longer, then that's the right way to do it.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so then we're going to close our executive session.
Thank you. And are we closing our regular session now that we're out of executive session?
We did close our regular session before we started the executive session.
Okay. So just if we're ever going to make a decision after an executive session, we have to, what we do is we pause the regular session.
Yes, so I understand that. Okay. But you said that we're going to make it next.
Okay, meeting. Just making sure we're on the same page.
Yes, okay. Next meeting we'll make the decision. That way we can all churn on what's going on for a couple of weeks. And
yeah.
We'll make the decision at that one, and then they will start the following meeting beyond that.
Right. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, please.
Thank you.